Hey, everybody. We're back. This is the Drunken Mustache podcast music reviews. We're in a hurry trying not to make sure that our technology doesn't just shit out on us.
Skynet is upon us.
This is the third time we've tried to start the podcast today, so hopefully it doesn't crash. This week, we're going to be reviewing Ailstorm, No Cradle But the Sea. No Grave But the Sea?
No Grave.
No Grave But the Sea. Jay-Z 444. And We the People by Adrenaline Mob. So, and before we get into it, I would like to say that our sponsor this week is the Anatidaphobia Awareness Committee, reminding you that there is a 99% chance there is a duck in your house right now.
Oh, shit.
So keep that in mind when you're trying
motherfucker.
When you're trying to go to sleep tonight. Are you sure you're sober, PTG? You don't sound like it.
Oh, I'm sober. I'm actually trying to lose a little bit of weight again, so I'm kind of taking a little drink hiatus for a while.
Stop mocking me. God damn it. Anyway.
Also, it's because I'm kind of broke for the next week, so.
Well, that would play a factor. All right, let's get into this one. So, to start us off, we're going off with Ailstorm. They're of the very well-versed genre of pirate metal. For those of you who are not familiar with Ailstorm, they're a pretty popular band. They actually put a lot of good music. Here's a sample of their song Mexico off their new album. So I do want to say before we get started, the song Fucked by an Anchor made me want to just give this album a 10 out of 10.
But, right?
But I had to like come back to my senses and seriously consider it when listening to them. So as we touched on, Ailstorm, not Hailstorm that we reviewed a few weeks ago, is a pirate metal band, which is a pretty succinct genre. And honestly, I think they're probably one of the more well-known groups out there right now. TG, I think you've probably got more of a background on Ailstorm. Like, maybe I'm just really hammered. What are your thoughts? What do you know about Ailstorm, and what are your thoughts on the album?
All right, so a little bit of additional background. Musically speaking, Ailstorm isn't really doing anything that hasn't been done before. If you take away the whole pirate theme, really they're just playing folk metal, just standard heavy metal with things like accordions, fiddles, and maybe a hurdy-gurdy thrown in there for good measure. There's other bands out there like Eluveti is the one that comes to mind that plays this genre. But what really sets Ailstorm apart is the whole pirate shtick. In fact, I'm kind of paraphrasing the singer on this, but their songs are about stealing treasure, getting drunk, and doing pirate shit. And honestly, that kind of sums up the entire album. I mean, you've got you've got No Grave by the Sea. I mean, No Grave But the Sea, the title track, which is just about naval battles, things like that. You've got Mexico, which is about getting drunk in Mexico. Honestly, that song kind of seemed a little just ever so slightly racist to me. Like, we're talking racist on the level of just, wearing a sombrero and Cinco de Mayo because getting drunk.
Well, and
that's
also,
what we do
also the
on
part
every so-called ethnic quote-unquote holiday in the United States is we just get drunk. St. Patty's Day, drink. Cinco de Mayo, drink. If there was a Russian holiday we celebrated, well, actually, no, they would probably be getting drunk on that holiday, too. But getting off topic.
I thought,
honestly, I really enjoyed this album.
I thought you were going to bring up the part.
Go ahead.
I thought you were going to bring up the part where they started talking about donkey shows.
Yes.
But
that slipped my mind. Yeah. It's like the most it was such a weird song. I mean, it starts out with 8-bit 80s video game music, and then starts singing about getting drunk and watching a donkey show in Mexico.
It's so beautiful.
If you don't know what a donkey show is, kids, ask your parents.
No, don't ask your parents. You don't want to know what a donkey show is.
But no, I had a lot of fun listening to this album. I mean, Mexico was great. Fucked with an Anchor is just an instant classic. I actually played this on a recent road trip I took back down to visit my family, and it really made about an hour of that trip just fly by, because even though they're not really doing anything terribly brand new musically, it was just fun. I mean, you're sitting here imagining, okay, I could go sit in a tavern and get drunk to every single one of these songs. And I really appreciate their sense of humor. I don't know if you did like I did and listened to the special edition, which includes an assload of bonus tracks. But if you did, you would know every single bonus track is just the entire album over again, but with dog barking instead of the actual vocals. I mean, that's...
No, I didn't know that, but that sounds...
Yeah, to kind of just wrap myself up here, because I could just ramble endlessly about these guys. If you want something fun to listen to, if you want something fun to go get drunk with your bros to, this is the album to go do that to.
So I enjoyed this album a lot for, it was one of those where lyrically, I mean, yeah, like you said, musically, they're not doing anything new that you haven't heard before, but lyrically, oh my God, it's a hilarious album. This is probably one of the more fun albums that I've had listening to, just in terms of sheer like ridiculousness and like fun level, I guess, if that's a thing. Yeah. I keep talking about Fucked by an Anchor, which, yeah, we're probably going to go over like the PG-13 rating with the language here between this and Jay-Z. But yeah, they...
Well, shit, we used to do that just because of me anyway, but...
But yeah, I mean, Fucked by an Anchor, to give you an idea, the first stanza is, fuck you, you're a fucking wanker, we're going to punch you right in the balls. So yeah, you kind of got an idea of how that song is going to go from that point on. I loved it because I think it's something that, you know, you're never, sure as hell not going to sing that around like people at work, but I think we've all been in that place where it's like, you know, I really feel like there's a few people that need to hear this. But anyway, the album overall, I mean, you got to be a metal fan. But if you're getting into the quote unquote pirate metal genre, then I think you kind of know what you're in for. And so, yeah, I kind of give it a bit of levity compared to other groups in the sense that if you are walking into this CD and you are picking a group that is specifically known for pirate metal, then you should be aware of what you are walking into once you buy this album. You know, otherwise I might grade it a little more harshly where, you know, if you're just a big genre thing, you can find people who don't like you. You can find people that will like disagree with your lyrics and stuff. But with this one, it's pretty clear cut. You know what you're getting into. You should like it. And I think this album hit on everything that is good about the band. There were definitely some songs that were kind of like mediocre, but I mean, what are you going to do? You're not going to hit on 5 stars on everything. I give this an 8. I haven't bought it yet, but I'm seriously considering buying it. I did have to.
It's definitely worth it. If nothing else for the bonus tracks.
I listened to it on Google Play because Jay-Z made me get Google Play. We're going to talk about that in a second. But yeah, I mean, I adore this album. It's just so much fun to listen to. Even if you're not a metal fan, I think there's some songs in here that you can really enjoy and just have a fun time with the lyrics. If you ignore, I guess as TG was pointing out, some of the racist tendencies of some of these things.
I mean, just in that one song, but I think the other thing this album has going for it too, if you're trying to like ease into heavy metal, is it's not extreme metal. Like the guy, he's got kind of a coarse, raspy voice because he's a pirate, quote unquote, but it's not like death metal where the guy's talking like Cookie Monster the entire album, you know? It's like a little bit closer to classic heavy metal.
Yeah. For me, it's just the I think the subject matters has a lot more levity to it, but yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
It's just fun. It's just stupid, mindless, hilarious fun.
I mean, who can't appreciate that? Anyway. All right. Moving on to our next album. A lot less fun, a lot more serious. This one we're talking about Jay-Z 444. Before I play the sample, Taylor, did you find any reasoning behind why everybody's using 4 as like an album title now? What's up with that?
I don't know. I think it's kind of up there with the number 23 and pseudo anti-Semitic conspiracy theories. Honestly, I don't know. I couldn't find anything.
Well, if it is anti-Semitic, then, I mean, we know Jay-Z is all about that. Anyway, here's a sample from his song, The Story of O.J. So I'm going to cut out before that starts his liberal use of the N-word, to say the least. Anyway, yeah, I've got a lot of thoughts and feelings on this album. I think it was a very well-composed album, like a lot of the rap albums we've listened to recently. And there was clearly a lot of thought and emotion put into it. But it felt wrong in a lot of ways to listen to it. And I think this was something we talked about, Taylor, when listening to it. It just felt kind of uncomfortable in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
I mean, and of course, besides from the typical, like, well, I'm a white person listening to a black guy rap about how he hates white people. But yeah, I mean,
I didn't really get the hates white people thing too much from it, but go on.
Well, I mean, he does. There were a lot of anti-Jewish stuff, so I don't know. I don't want to get this. I don't want to make this into a race thing, but yeah, I don't know where that.
Fair enough.
I don't know where that falls, but anyway, yeah, the album had a lot of clear, strong messages that Jay-Z was getting across, but it also you could kind of get a vibe, as if we compared it to like the Kendrick Lamar album that we had reviewed a few weeks ago, or if we compared that to the Tyler, the Creator album, this felt a lot more sorrowful. Like every song had kind of a pained feeling to it. There was just either there was someone moaning in the background, or there was like really slow tempo, just didn't feel good and enjoyable. It was kind of a weird experience for me because I liked the music and I liked the feel that they were putting out. It was just really depressing, and it made it hard for me to get through the album itself. Aside, you know, ignoring all the other stuff that goes on in that. And it makes me feel like Jay-Z must be going through a lot. Again, I don't keep track of a lot of the singer, writer, album drama stuff. I'm more about the music, but it felt like Jay-Z was going through some really hard times for a guy who's got a net worth of some ridiculous amount. Anyway, I'll finish up in a bit, but TG, what were your thoughts on the album?
Man, I kind of agree with you on a lot of things there. Like listening to this, it was a little bit easier for me to sit through it because, like Ailstorm, honestly, all three of these albums that we're doing this week, I listened to in a car drive from here to Southwest Georgia. So I had plenty of time to sit there and nothing else to do but drive. But I kind of agree with the whole it was pained assessment. Like, the thing that kept sticking out to me was the sample usage. Like, what was the song name? I think it was I think it was the title track, 444, where he – I don't know where the song that he sampled. I don't know what song that was. But he sampled a bit where the woman singer was in the middle of belting out part of a – part of a – shit. he was sampling the part where she was in the middle of belting out her line, and the way he cut it, he basically built the song around this repeated clip of the singer just basically screaming. And he did something like that on a couple of other songs, and it just, I don't know, it kind of took me out of trying to listen to it. I mean, maybe that was the point, because like you said, this was not a happy album at all. The music itself was not what I would consider to be pleasant to listen to. But hey, I listen to bands called Dying Fetus, so what does my opinion matter on that, right? But on a lyrical note, lyrical content note, this was also uncomfortable to listen to. Like some of the other albums we've gone over on previous weeks, like Katy Perry and Lorde. This was obviously dealing with and working through some personal shit, but the one big difference I noticed with this is clearly in reference to something really specific. Like, he's married to Beyonce, right?
I believe that is the case, yes.
Yeah. Well, if I remember correctly, her album Lemonade from like last year was about him cheating on her. And apparently this album was kind of written partially in response to that. And it came off very apologetic in some points, especially on the title track. And I think Family Feud kind of touched on that a little bit. And the difference to me is I feel like I'm sitting at a dinner party with a couple and they're getting into it with each other. Whereas with the other personal issues music that we reviewed, it was a little more vague, a little more relatable. Like, I mean, everybody can relate to being broken up with, or, you know, stress, or the just everyday life getting to you, which is what some of those songs covered. And some of the stuff covered in this album is certainly relatable in that, you know, everybody's had relationships go bad. Everyone is on some level dealt with it. But it's one thing to just hear those issues in general being written and sung about, but it's something totally different to sit there and realize that you're basically playing witness to some real deep shit between a very specific couple. I don't know if that's making any sense, but overall, I can't say I was a huge fan of this. I mean, if you're a fan of Jay-Z, you're probably gonna enjoy this. I don't know. This is actually the first Jay-Z album I've listened to, but there you have it.
I mean, it kind of comes back to what we talked about with the Katy Perry thing, where he's obviously got a lot on his mind. Some of it is not necessarily tied to his relationship situation, because there were a lot of, you know, like the story of OJ,
right,
deals with, you know, being black and viewing yourself as being black. And there were some other songs that had, like, we touched on it. I don't want to really go into it, but he had some clear, well, people can argue if they want, but to me it was clear anti-Semitic messages, which is concerning. But, I think, for me, the guy is clearly going through some stuff, and when that's going on, it's really, it's weird. It feels like you're paying to watch somebody air their dirty laundry. And it's like, you know, I get that this artist or this person has to go through whatever they need to get in the right mind. And in a sense, it's kind of cool to hear what's going on. But at the same time, it's like, should they really be monetizing the fact that they're struggling like this? It feels weird to, like, know that they're paying for that. And I do want to touch on that, because Jay-Z made it really difficult to get a hold of this album. I had to get Google Play to get this album. Usually I'll listen to, like, most of the albums on YouTube or on something else where I can get them legally and listen to them a couple times and buy them if I want to. But Jay-Z was like, no, can't get any of my songs. You have to get it through certain channels. So you basically have to pay for these extra services. And with that in mind, the subject matter of the songs, it just feels really strange. It's like he's clearly trying to monetize this thing, and that really kind of bugged me. But
the album, yeah, I mean, like, it was originally for like about a week or two. It was exclusive to Tidal and Tidal subscribers that were on Sprint. And then a little while later, they dropped a physical copy, and that's when it showed up on the other services. I don't know. I mean, he must be getting some serious money on the back end from these deals, because otherwise you would think that by opening up your album to a wider audience to be able to listen to, and he did eventually do that, you would think that would be a better business decision. But then again, he's the millionaire and I'm not, so maybe he knows something I don't.
Yeah, I mean, overall, I would say that the music is very, very good. I would give this album like a 7. I just don't think I could listen to it again. It kind of tore me up just listening to it the first time. As weird as that sounds, it was a very heavy-handed album.
And maybe that was the point. I mean, again, he was dealing with some personal... Well, can you really call it personal if, like, the entire world knows about it?
Well, and that's...
But I guess, you know what, I guess the word fits because it is what it is, but I'm with you. I didn't like this album, but I don't know. Like I said, it all goes back to the fact that with, like, Lorde, for example, she wasn't referencing anything specific. If you knew about her, you knew why she was singing about what she sung about. But with this one, like, I mean, it made some pretty specific references. And again, like I said, it felt like I was sitting at a dinner party with some couple, and then they started fighting in the middle of it. And you're sitting there like, and do I leave or do I just sit here and pretend nothing's happening? I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And I mean, maybe people will take what they will from it. I've heard there's been a lot of controversy over it, and I've heard a lot of people like supporting what he says in some of his songs. But yeah, for me, it was not a very fun experience. I personally, I wouldn't listen to this album again. Anyway,
I don't plan to either myself.
Yeah, I mean, maybe this is something we just have to have a sidecast about. But when people air their dirty laundry like this, it's so weird. Like, not Lorde, but, you know, Katy Perry and those, that kind of situation. Anyway, all right. Moving on. Last album, we got Adrenaline Mob, We the People. So I don't really have a ton to say about this. I'm basically going to let TG take it. But here is a quick sample of the title track from that album, We the People. So that was before the lyrics actually kicked in, but that music riff basically gives you a good idea of what's going on with the rest of the album. So, TG, I'll hand it over to you. What were your thoughts?
All right. So I've heard of Adrenaline Mob for a couple of years. I've been aware of their existence for a while, but I never really listened to any of their music, which is kind of surprising because, like, I believe – one of their founding members was Mike Portnoy. Mike Portnoy, the ex-drummer of Dream Theater, was their original drummer. So I'm sitting here thinking, okay, this ought to be pretty cool. You know, you got a drummer from a well-known progressive rock band starting his own little side project. And I'm listening to it, and I'm like, okay, this is just pretty standard rock and roll, hard rock. That's all right. It wasn't what I was expecting, but... The album itself, I've heard the term butt rock thrown around, which, if you're not familiar with the term, because I've only just recently become acquainted with that term, it refers to the really generic, really, really just lowest common denominator sounding hard rock and heavy metal you hear on the radio,
to cut in.
Nothing but rock.
To cut
radio
in,
stations.
Yeah, to cut in, I guess the way it was explained to me was butt rock is music that sounds really good, like really easy to listen to, which is why it's on the radio, but takes very little talent or skill to play. So it's kind of frowned upon in the genre, and it's frowned upon by people themselves. And usually when you see an album with butt rock, all the songs sound alike because, again, it's really easy to play, da-da-da-da-da. Sorry, so I don't know if you got more feelings on that than I do, but that's kind of what I felt.
I mean, that's not a bad explanation of it. Just the term itself, it came from the phrase, we play nothing but rock all day, every day, 24/7, turn it up and rip the knob off those, you know, radio stations that you just wonder, does anybody really unironically listen to this? But
Which is funny because I can think of at least four stations in Atlanta that have the same reasoning. But anyway.
Yeah. But I mean, the album itself, I mean, it wasn't the greatest thing I've ever heard. I've heard a lot worse. I've heard a lot better. It was pretty middle of the road, hard rock and heavy metal sound. Some of it was pretty cringeworthy, like the track Raise 'Em Up. I can't tell if this song is supposed to be satire of butt rock or if it's just that far into the butt rock hole. Butt rock hole. but I mean, it actually includes the line, put your hands in the air like you just don't care, multiple times. And I'm like, you know, if this is satire, this is some like Poe's Law shit here. I can't tell if it's satire or not. And that's concerning. It was just really generic, really low effort sounding riffs, which is a shame because their drummer, their current drummer is, I really enjoyed that aspect of the music. But a song that I did actually enjoy quite a bit was, what was it? Man, that's not very high recommendation. I can't even remember the name of the song. Chasing Dragons. I thought that was an all right song. It was, you know, it was a little bit less your typical just heavy, we're tough guys. It was, I don't know, it kind of dealt with the standard early Metallica, your inner demons and drug use kind of thing is what I got from it. But honestly, that's I'm kind of finding myself spinning my wheels trying to say a whole lot more. But I mean, if you're already an Adrenaline Mob fan, I don't think this will disappoint too much. If you're not an Adrenaline Mob fan, this is probably not going to convert you right off the bat. If you're just listening, if you're just wanting some background noise, I mean, this would fill that void, I guess. But I can't really heavily recommend this.
Yeah, I mean, my thought comes down to it's just same thing over and over again, and there's nothing really incredible about the lyrics, like with Ailstorm, and there's nothing really incredible about the music. So at the end of the day, it's just like, okay, well, I guess we're listening to this song like 13 times in this album. So I was looking for more positive things to say. It's funny that you brought up the song where they're like, put your hands in the air like you just don't care, because I remember listening to that the first time, and I was like, that was where I had to turn it off, because I was like, I need to step away. I can't believe they seriously just said that. I can't.
Rage quit.
Yeah. Yeah, I had heard good things about this band, so I want to believe some of their other albums are better than this, but if this is what a lot of their stuff is like, then I'm not impressed, frankly. Also, it feels bad because I know what happened with their band recently. I think, was it the bassist or the one of their...
The bass player.
Yeah, it was the bass player. Got into a car accident recently, and I feel bad for him, but it doesn't change my feelings on the album, and the fact of the matter is it's just not very good. I'd give it like a... If you're a fan, obviously you're going to feel a lot better about it, but I personally would give this a 4. Like, I'm not... Unless I just flat out like the band, I am not going to listen to this.
I will give them this, though. The end of the album closed out with a cover of Billy Idol's Rebel Yell, and I thought they pulled off a pretty decent cover of that, honestly.
I can't think of anything negative to say about it, no. Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't... I've heard more interesting covers of it, like Children of Bodom, a extreme metal band from, I think it is. It's either Finland or Sweden. I get the two mixed up. All Nords look the same.
whoa.
But they did a cover of Rebel Yell, which is really interesting to hear that covered in, you know, death metal style. But anyway, that was one other positive thing I can say about the album was that was cool.
Fair enough. I got nothing else to add, though. So thanks as always.
I guess that's it.
Yep, that's it. We're wrapping it up. I need to go get another beer, and we need to get out before the machine shuts us down. All right. Thanks as always.
Somebody called John Connor.
Thanks as always to our listeners for tuning in. If you have any requests on albums you'd like us to cover, send us an email at or actually just post below. Sorry, I forget we haven't set up an email yet. We're going to get right on that once we stop fighting the machines. All right. DG, you got anything to say to our fans?
Hi, Mom.
Okay. I'm sure she appreciates that.
She doesn't even listen.
Anyway, have a good rest of your week. Bye-bye.